as he does every week, our ESPN MLB Insider. It's Buster Olney. How you doing, Buster?
I'm doing okay. What's going on?
Well, what's going on? Red Sox get Kinsler. All is better. First of all, I thought that was a good one. When I was in Dallas, I always liked Kinsler. Spark plug, of course, he was a lot better back then. Had some pop in the bat there. I good leadership. I know he's up there in age, but I thought it was a good pickup.
I did, too. It's funny because there's some players, when they're acquired, you look at the numbers and you sort of assess the acquisition purely through the numbers. But in two cases, I think with Cole Hamels going to the Cubs and with Kinsler going to the Red Sox, you don't worry as much about the numbers. And he has not, you know, offensively had a great season for the Angels this year. If you look at just his batting average, et cetera, I think it's a great acquisition. His defense is really good still at his age. He's an excellent base runner. And the biggest thing is he just fits the adrenaline of what the Red Sox are trying to do in a big market. He's also a Deadpool hitter. He made reference to this when he met with reporters yesterday. He's going to be peppering that wall at Fenway. And you love the fact that he goes to that team in a complimentary role. That, you know, you can put him at the bottom of the order, and he's probably going to do some stuff on the bases to help you win on some days, on defense on other days, and he'll pop on over the wall. I thought it was an excellent trade.
Well, Buster, I talked to you. We obviously talked to you on Wednesday. I said my reaction to the Eovaldi pickup was, meh. And you said, talk to me in a couple of months, and we're off to a – you nailed that sucker. But, I mean, obviously he's not going to go out and throw 5, 6, 7 shutout innings every single start. But with Chris Sale going down at least for a couple of starts, it looks like, how big does he become all of a sudden?
Yeah, he does. Now, I will say that, I mean, Chris Sale sort of downplayed the nature of what he's going through with reporters yesterday, and the people I talked to privately were doing the same. They don't think it's as big of a deal. You know, we'll have to wait and see on that thing. And I think I mentioned to you a couple weeks ago that, you know, part of the reason why I know that the Yankees were bummed that the Red Sox got Eovaldi and the Yankees didn't get Eovaldi was because he's got plus stuff. There's no doubt about it. And on a given day, he could absolutely have an impact. And I think I used the comp the last time we talked, and I use it again. Charlie Morton of the Houston Astros, who in his mid-30s, it's sort of like figured out how to use all of his great stuff. And if you know Nathan Eovaldi, you're going to be rooting for the same thing to happen to him because he's a terrific person. He's had a lot of bad luck in baseball, and it's cool to see him have it worked out.
Buster, I want to go back to Kinsler for a second. Does this mean Pedroia is done for the year from everything that you're hearing? It sounds like we can't count on it, but do you think he's done for the year no matter what now?
Yeah, I think it's very possible he's done for the year, and I do think we're starting to get into that realm of, okay, what's he going to be going forward, quite frankly. With the surgery's done, it's way too deep to get into here. You know, they had an expectation of something that was going to happen within the knee, some healing that was going to happen, and it didn't happen the way the doctors expected. And I think we talked about it at the end of last season that, you know, he knew that there was a serious issue going on there, and it will remain to be seen whether he comes back at the very end of this year or if he comes back next year. How effective of a player can he be, especially given the nature of how he plays? He's not like some big slugger who can sort of tone it down. He has a style of play that he would not be happy if he couldn't play the way that he likes to play. And so we'll just have to wait and see how much of a future he has as a player in Major League Baseball.
Yeah. You know, Buster, Rich and Brady were like, okay, the pressure's on the Yankees coming in this week. I'm like, well, maybe a little bit of the other way around, because you see, if you're the Red Sox, well, you got a 5.5 game lead, you got the injuries, it's piling up with Sale. You go 3-1 or 4-0, you put the Yankees out, you take your time bringing Sale. You want to end it, you could end this thing right now, Buster.
See, when he's talking about the pressure is on the Red Sox, I thought you were going to start asking me about switch hitters in baseball, like you did last week.
Yeah.
No. Look, I think the pressure is squarely on the Yankees, and for the reason that you just said, that you lose on Thursday, suddenly you're like, oh my God, this race could be over by the end of the weekend.
Yeah, yeah.
So right out of the gate, the Yankees have to turn it around. They're probably internally trying to figure out, why the heck can't we beat the Baltimore Orioles? They're losing again today.
Yeah. They lost.
That's a huge loss for them.
Yeah.
Right, the Orioles, half their team has been traded. And the Yankees go out and they can't find a way to win today. Sonny Gray was terrible. I know I was watching the Yankees broadcast here, and they were speculating on whether or not next turn through the order you might see Lance Lynn in the rotation and Sonny Gray might get dropped out. There's a high anxiety at a time when they don't have Aaron Judge and they don't have Gary Sanchez. They have to figure it out in a hurry. And I will say this. I mean, I'll back you up to this regard. I think those four-game series take on their own momentum because there are enough games. So if the Yankees did happen to win Thursday and then they won Friday, then the switch would flip, right?
Yeah. That's for sure.
Buster, the Yankees seem acutely aware of not ending up in that wild card game. I mean, that's easy to say. You obviously want to avoid that. But, yep. I mean, and especially when you, I would assume at this point, still are, you have to go with Severino in a one-game playoff. But what's going on with him?
You know, I have not dug specifically into that. I've been focused so much on the trade stuff. I mean, it's not unusual for pitchers, I think, to go through periods during the course of the year where they have, you know, 2, 3, 4 bad starts. I know when the last time we had the Yankees on air, which I think was like 2 weeks ago, I asked around about that idea of the one-game playoff. I think it was Alex Rodriguez in one of our meetings said, would you start Tanaka? Would you start Sabathia? Or would you start Severino? And you know, I checked into it, and the answer was like, yeah, we would start Severino, no doubt about it. Plus, here's the other thing, too. In a one-game playoff, and we saw this when they beat the Twins last year in the one-game playoff, it really isn't only the starter. They had to go to their bullpen in the first inning, and of course, they came back and won that game, and they have the capability with as much depth as they have to do that again.
Buster Olney of ESPN joining us here on The Huddle, as he does every week at this time, 101.3 ESPN. What do we know about Xander Bogaerts' injury? X-rays negative. Do we think they put him on the DL based on what happened last year when he tried to play through a similar injury?
Yeah, that would make sense. And I'm going to confess to you that since I got done my trade deadline stuff last night, I have not made a phone call. I turned it down. So, you know, I'm going to dig into that tonight and into tomorrow. But I agree with you. I think the one regret the Red Sox probably have is not giving him the time to heal. And you hope it's not an injury like last year where it really affected him the rest of the way.
Buster, I don't know if you saw this yet because it was on Twitter. I saw it about an hour ago, and we got a listener asking about it, so I will ask you. Brian Cashman's comments about the Red Sox, he said that he wonders what the Sox record would be if they only played the Yankees because he says we seem to be the only team that can do damage against them, stoking the fire a little bit ahead of the rivalry.
Yeah, and that's one of those ones. I did hear about it. They were talking about it, actually, in the Red Sox broadcast when I was driving back from Bristol last night. And I think it was Lou Merlone was saying, you know what, he might want to worry about his own team, you know, given the fact that they can't beat the other teams. I almost wonder if he was sort of mournfully also talking about their inability to beat the other teams,
yeah.
Teams like the Orioles. So I don't have the full context of it. On the other hand, I will say, Brian and Dave Dombrowski, I think have had fun sort of tweaking each other a little bit with the whole Golden State Warrior thing that Cashman threw at the Red Sox after they got David Price a couple of years ago, and then Dombrowski was throwing it back at him after they got Stan during the wintertime. So, yeah, I think he probably was stirring the pot a little bit.
You know, Buster, I don't know if you could swing this. I'm hoping the Mets have play Baltimore. Can you get me some tickets? I'm hoping, really.
Oh, man. Yeah, you'll have, sections are, yeah. Free. There's no doubt about
25
it.
25-4. What, are you kidding me or what? Unbelievable.
Yeah,
huh?
That was really ugly. Man. And I will say this. You know, Jose Reyes, when he pitched last night,
yeah.
It was the closest thing to that I've seen of a batting practice pitcher pitching in a major league game ever. Seriously, when you watched him flipping the ball,
yeah.
I'm like, that's exactly what the BP pitchers are trying to do. Just flip it over the middle, let the hitter feel good about himself. And boy, did the Nationals feel good about themselves. Look, the Mets are right now in an embarrassing state.
Wow.
I did a column today giving out trade deadline grades and, you know, gave some A's and gave some B's and gave some C's,
yeah.
No D's and one F, and it was for the Mets.
Ugh.
I cannot believe that they didn't take advantage of how soft the starting pitcher market was and take DeGrom out there. And
yeah.
I know that they're absolutely intent on trying to win next year, but I think they're out of their minds because the only way that they could win in 2019 with the current group of players they have is that if they spend a lot of money on free agents this winter. And you guys and I know they're not going to do that.
No, no.
That's not the way they work. And so knowing that, hey, go into a full period of rebuild, fans are much more savvy than I think they were 25 or 30 years ago, and they would have understood the strategy behind it, and they could have gotten a heck of a haul.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I thought they could get in some, half a team for DeGrom at this point. You'll never get more value. Hey, the one thing about Jose Reyes that was fun, though, and I know you're into baseball history, and so am I, and we talk every now and then about unbreakable records. He goes out and hits two home runs today. There's a record we'll never see broken. Multiple home runs given up one day, and then less than 24 hours later, multiple home runs hit by the same guy.
Shohei Ohtani wants a word with you.
Yeah.
You know what?
But I
yeah.
don't know if he would
right.
count.
You got me there.
We had a fun thing on our podcast last week because now 38 different position players have been used to pitch this year, which is a major league record for one season.
Wow.
And we're only in the first day of August. And so on our podcast, we decided to come up with the Chris Jimenez Award, and we had Chris on, and we were going to give it to the best position player who pitched, and we ruled immediately that Ohtani's not eligible.
Yeah. That's right.
Hey,
forgot about him.
Buster, I want to ask you, I had some pretty strong thoughts about this yesterday, so I might have a follow-up too, but what did you think of the Astros acquiring Roberto Osuna from the Blue Jays in the midst of his 75-game domestic violence suspension?
It was really surprising, and I thought it was disgusting the way that it played out. Look, a lot of teams looked into Osuna, whose case has not been resolved. He actually had a hearing earlier today. The case was pushed up into, I think, a court date in early September. The details haven't come out. Whatever happened, there was enough there where he agreed to one of the longest suspensions under baseball's domestic violence policy of 75 games. The Blue Jays determined internally he was not going to pitch for them again. So when he becomes eligible next week, they had made up their minds they were going to trade him. And the Astros make the deal for him. And I think what made it worse was the statement that was put out by Jeff Luhnow, their general manager, where he made reference to the Astros' zero-tolerance policy. So he was championing their zero-tolerance policy while trading for someone who is currently suspended for domestic violence. That made no sense to me. And I just posted this on Twitter this afternoon because I thought more and more about that, where his feelings or what his stated idea is that, yes, zero tolerance means anyone in our organization. We do not tolerate that. We do believe in second chances. So, in other words, if you are guilty of domestic violence, one of the other 29 teams, you're good. And so what that means is that the policy, the zero tolerance policy the Astros have toward domestic violence has nothing to do with the victim or the act and has only to do with the image of the Astros, and that's kind of gross. And I wish that the Astros had believed in themselves enough where they could have said, you know what, we can win without that guy, okay? Because they certainly were good enough last fall. There were a lot of good pitchers who were available this year, and it surprised me that they made this move, and it does have a chance, I think, of really raising some questions within their own clubhouse, given some of the clear discomfort from some of the players with this.
Buster, the thing I really like about it, aside from Ozuna's act itself, is that Ozuna and the Astros are going to profit from this disgusting choice that he made. Ozuna gets to go from a team that's out of the running to maybe winning a World Series, and he gets to play in the playoffs, unlike a steroid user. I find that disgusting, and I find it disgusting because of service time. The Astros are going to get an extra year out of this guy at a cost-affordable contract. It's disgusting to me to see guys benefit from this.
Well, we'll see about that. The one thing about this whole situation, and I wrote a column about it the other day, that the Astros, because the details have not come out, one of the disingenuous things that was put out by the Astros the other day is that he's remorseful, he's dealt with this. He hasn't acknowledged anything. His lawyer came out the day that his suspension came down and said that suspension is not an admission of guilt in this case. He has not come out. He hasn't said I'm sorry. He hasn't explained what happened. And as details come out, Major League Baseball does have the right, and I think that if some ugly details do come out, they could actually go double down and revisit more discipline for him, which will be interesting. And whatever those details are, because Jeff Luhnow came out and said that we had an unprecedented look into this case, whatever details come out, the Astros now fully own them.
Oh, yeah.
And someone will have to sit in a press conference and explain if their pictures, if their video, if their details that come out, how they made the decision to take a player who may have been guilty of those things.
Oh, absolutely. Buster Olney, of course, on the TikTok Jewelers guest line. Buster, always a pleasure. Enjoy Yankees Sox this week. Can't wait to see how it turns out this weekend. And we'll speak to you next week.
That sounds great.
All right,
guys.
Take care.
Thanks, Buster.
Buster Olney, everybody, our MLB insider.
Best 20 minutes
Buster.
Of radio the whole week.
We love Buster.